Coming up on today's show.
To be honest with you, you know, I found myself making decisions I wasn't necessarily proud of and feeling, you know, finding out what it feels like to not have God active in your life. It was very empty.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. At the top of the website, there are links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, so you can engage with me and the show that way. Look for those logos, those links there for whichever platform or platforms plural you enjoy using. A reminder, too, about the Catholic Sports Radio community. That is the Facebook group, which is free to join, by the way, and which you can also find a link for on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Remember, too, that any and all of those give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email. In the case of the latter, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Last week, the end of season awards show took place for the National Hockey League. Wow, Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers took home four major awards at the event held in Nashville, adding to his already impressive trophy case for all the individual honors he has received so far in his career. In the days leading up to the awards, there kept being posts on social media for each category asking who should win. Of course, fans would puff their chest out and brag about why the guy from their team should be the winner, and the night that the trophies are handed out and the next day, people still gloat about someone from their team that of course he won, and why he's better than the other nominees and or someone from your favorite team. We do need to be very conscious about bordering on being too boastful, overly proud. That is not the way that the Lord wants us to carry ourselves. In the Old Testament, Proverbs 16 says the following in verse 5, quote, "Every proud heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured that none will go unpunished," end quote. Friends, Jesus won the ultimate victory already, so instead, let us pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us in humility. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the assistant head coach of the football team at Detroit Catholic Central High School, where he has been on the staff since 2008. Along the way, he coached in two state championship games, and prior to his promotion this year to his current role, had been promoted to defensive coordinator in 2018. He was an undergraduate assistant coach at the University of Michigan from 2003 to 2005, and as a student athlete playing for Detroit Catholic Central, he was a member of back-to-back state championship teams. He holds a BS in physical education from the University of Michigan, and his father is in multiple halls of fame as a football coach. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Joe Mack.
Bruce, thanks for having me. I'm honored to be here. I appreciate you asking me to come on the show. I'm very excited to talk about what I consider to be the most important aspect of my life, which is my Catholic faith.
You're most welcome, Joe. You're most welcome. I typically start out asking a guest about where they were born and raised, but this week we need to kind of take a detour on that, as Joe, you have a little bit different story than we are used to hearing when I start my interview questions each week.
Yeah, so I was born in Detroit to a couple of parents who at the time considered themselves too young to raise a family at the time. So they made a decision to put my brother and I, I'm actually a twin, to put my brother and I up for adoption, which really strikes at my heart here in 2023. It's a decision that, at least in my view, it's not being made nearly enough. I owe them, even though I don't know my birth mother, but I owe her a great debt of gratitude for making that decision. So I was actually in the Methodist Children's Home for the first 5 months of my life until I was adopted by my parents, the people who raised me, who I consider to be my parents. That's Tom and Lynn Mack. They brought me into their home in Redford, Michigan. And then, well, we'll talk a little bit more about where things went from there. But yeah, it was it's a part of my background that has truly shaped my faith. I'm very realistic with the fact that I could be anywhere right now. Mm. I believe God put me there for a reason with them to have a very strong faith influence and a faith base, and to do certain things. I believe this was all part of His plan, and of course, my goal is to regularly ask, am I carrying out the mission that you have for me, and to pay back that debt of gratitude that I carry with me.
Clearly, that sounds like a tremendous foundation was established for you. So talk about the faith environment in the home as you were being raised.
Yeah, so I'm what many might call a cradle Catholic. I was raised with the Catholic faith from the time being very young. My father was in a family that had a very strong faith. He himself actually was in the seminary at Sacred Heart Seminary.
Ah.
So he almost became a priest. And well, of course, I consider that to be a very honorable thing. And I would be thrilled if one of my sons, I have two sons myself, if one of my sons became a priest, I would be thrilled. I do thank God regularly that my father did not become a priest, because otherwise I might not be sitting here where I am right now. My mother, believe it or not, actually not Catholic, but she made the commitment to raise her sons Catholic in agreement with my father. And I owe her a great debt of gratitude as well. She was an integral part of my formation in the Catholic faith when I was young.
Did she end up converting to Catholicism at some point or no?
She has not, but I love her and I pray for her all the time.
When did you start playing football, and was that the only sport you played when you were young, or were there others but football just eventually won out?
Okay, so my dad being a football coach, football was near and dear to my heart, although, I mean, I played everything when I was younger. Basketball was probably number two at the time, but, in pickup situations, street hockey, baseball in the backyard, all that. But, football, most people don't believe me when I tell them, football actually came last. I begged for a long time to play. But mom and dad maybe saw things a little differently, and mom was winning that battle for a while. And so I didn't play until I was 13. Mom finally said, "All right, you hit your growth spurt, and go ahead and go play." And the rest was history. Is there? I fell in love with the game. I'd been going to my dad's games and had been on the sideline there since I was 8, and had already fallen in love with the game. What I didn't really, I think, appreciate when I was younger was the environment that I was around. As a father now, and as a teacher at the school, and as a coach, I have much greater appreciation for the Catholic identity that goes along with the institution that I work at. Mm. It makes for a great environment for any young man to be in, and I benefited from that when I was younger. There's no question.
So at 13, just to set the record straight, that was the first time that you started actually competing in football, and obviously it was tackle, yes?
Yeah, it was the first time I put the pads on and played tackle football. In seventh grade, I played for the Redford Rangers, which was a city team, seventh and eighth grade. I vividly remember coming home after that first practice. We had run sprints, so that was the first time I'd ever run any wind sprints. I got in the car and I looked at my mom and said, "I don't know if I want to do this," but I went back the next day and I didn't look back.
Yeah, exactly. So in high school, you earned Detroit Free Press All West Honorable Mention honors, as well as all academic honors from the Detroit Catholic High School League. Plus, I said during the intro that you were on back-to-back state championship teams. With all of that, was your mindset college football and then the NFL at that time? And for that matter, how prayerful were you about that possibly being the path God had for you? Or is it a case of, honestly, Bruce, my faith took a backseat to football then. I was way caught up in thinking that was all I needed in life to be happy.
It surprises some people when I answer this, but I really didn't have aspirations to play really at the next level. Mm. I had a great admiration for that, and I had many teammates who did. My father was a teacher as well. Education always came first. And God gives us many gifts. He doesn't give us all of them. I'm not a very big guy. I'm probably about 5'7". So it was clear to me at the time that, you know, maybe Division I football, maybe not for me. I could have gone out and played Division III. There were opportunities to do that. But as a student, I was accepted into University of Michigan, which was my dream school. And so I sat down with my parents and we had a conversation about it. And I decided, this was an opportunity that I couldn't pass up.
Okay. From 2003 to 2005, you were undergraduate assistant coach at the University of Michigan. Did that help you mature as a young man, learning from the coaches there, but also being in a wee bit of a leadership position, or was it, nah, I was still young, trust me, I was barely leading myself?
I'd say there was a little bit of both of those things going on, to be honest with you. At the time that I was a undergraduate assistant, I mean, I'm not going to glamorize it. I mean, I was an unpaid grunt, and I, you know, did a lot of data entry and film breakdown, film study, fetching coffee, and I was going to class from 7 in the morning and getting home at 7 o'clock at night. But it was a top-notch education in the game of football, and the men who were leading the program at the time, Lloyd Carr was the head coach at the time, a phenomenal man. His son actually played for my dad at Catholic Central. Mm. And I vividly remember my dad took me up there after my senior year of high school. We went to a Michigan practice, and we saw Coach Carr afterwards, and he put his arm around me knowing that that I was coming to Michigan in the fall to attend school. And he looked at my dad and he said, "Tom, you took care of my son, and I'm going to take care of yours." And he was true to his word. He created an environment there that was top notch. Integrity was at the top, taught you how to be successful, but not in a way of cutting corners or sacrificing your values. And so for somebody like me who was trying to live out his faith on a college campus, which is not an easy thing to do. It wasn't easy 20 years ago, and I know it's not easy now. I had a great mentor right there. He, and I give a lot of credit to the man who was the offensive coordinator at the time, that was Terry Malone. Coach Malone and I are still great friends. He's a Catholic Central graduate himself, one of the finest people that I know. So being in that environment, was integral to my development as a Catholic, even though most people view it only as a football experience.
Yeah. Well, I can say from what your comments were when I first introduced you, and folks, for all that Joe has been doing in football, there's an equally impressive list of all that he has been doing in his faith life. It's one of the reasons I do this show each week. It's important that we hear about all that someone like Joe is doing to further his walk with Christ. Sure, in addition to, or in his case, since he's coaching at a Catholic school, the impact he's making in football. Before he and I dive into some of the initiatives, though, I wanted to pass along another example of something I saw recently that I feel helps illustrate the limitations there are, unfortunately, on me and this ministry, being that I am a one-person operation doing all the work on and off the air and getting no income from this and not having any sponsors. I recently saw this information about the Signal Awards. It said, quote, "The Signal Award competition is open to all organizations and individuals involved in the process of creating, running, hosting, managing, maintaining, marketing, or promoting podcasts," end quote. They are based out of New York City, and the submission period is currently open, yet the cost for submitting an individual episode of Catholic Sports Radio would cost me $225. Since I have to find a way out of my own pocket to cover all the expenses that go with operating this show on and off the air, I just can't afford financially to do something like that. So if you like this show, if you appreciate the work that I do each week, if it's helping you in your faith life, and you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio and are getting benefit from the 230 interviews I've been doing for more than 4 years now, I do ask you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to my ministry. On the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a blue Donate to CSR button that is fast, secure, and easy for you to send in whatever amount you're comfortable giving. There's no predetermined list of amounts to choose from. You enter however much you want to give. You can even put a note on there for me to see, and boom, you send it in just like that. It's super quick, super simple. Alternatively, for those who would rather not do it online, you can contact me through social media or email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with details for sending me a check through the mail. Over many, many episodes of this show, I have given lots of other examples, exact costs that your gift helps me with. As a thank you to anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, I will happily say, with permission, your name on an upcoming episode, as you've heard me do in the past for guests and listeners who have made a gift to my ministry, or as some have asked me to do, you can choose to remain anonymous, in which case I will give a generic on-air thank you without naming names. Your support of my work really means a lot to me. I'm grateful for you listening and for considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. Joe, as I started into all that, I mentioned that you're really quite active in your faith life. For example, what is this about your having taught catechism at one point?
Yeah, I had an opportunity to teach catechism to middle school age students during my time at University of Michigan. So I was still a college student myself as well. It's not exactly as smooth of a road as you might imagine that got me there. The truth of the matter is, you know, despite being a cradle Catholic, you know, I consider myself not really a whole lot different than a lot of young people were or are at that stage in their life. You know, we're going to Mass and practicing a lot of things, some of them on your own, but some of them also because someone's there kicking you in a behind and telling you, like, hey, it's Sunday morning and it's time to go to Mass, right? So freshman year of college, you know, I don't think I set a foot in the Catholic Church. And to be honest with you, you know, I found myself making decisions I wasn't necessarily proud of and feeling, you know, finding out what it feels like to not have God active in your life. It was very empty. I give all the credit in the world to the Holy Spirit now, and just had a moment one evening about, you know, the beginning of my sophomore year, kind of like, you know, like, this, something's got to change. I'm going to go back, you know. And then one time became two, became three, and, you know, away it went. I'm in Mass one evening. They used to have Sunday night Mass for the college students who didn't want to get up early in the morning and go, which, you know, I thank the pastor there, Tom McLean, greatly for. So I was there in Mass, and they were asking for people to do this, and I was in my preparation to become a teacher, and, you know, I don't know if I really want to do this, and but it kept kicking around in my head. And finally, you know, I just said, okay, I think I'm being called to do this. You know, what's the worst that could happen? If you don't like it, at least you're making a difference. And I actually had a great experience doing it. It helped me in my formation, becoming a teacher, but I think, at least I hope, I was able to impact some young men as well.
Fantastic. And folks, more times than not, a guest will tip me off in advance, hey, ask me about my reversion story. And I had no idea that Joe had the moment that he just described for us, the awakening, if you will. And great testimony, Joe. Thank you for sharing that with us. What is the Shamrock ID student group? And what is your role with that? What does your position entail?
Okay, so the Shamrock ID group is actually new to Catholic Central just this past year. I was asked by another teacher who started this group with the idea of trying to get a little more of a personal relationship with the young men and being able to talk to the young men in our building in small groups and provide mentorship to them, but with the goal of helping them to, and this is the stated goal, I'm going to read this right off of here, living out your Christian identity as a man of Catholic Central. A gentleman, his name is Mike Frass, he runs this. And he does a phenomenal job, but he asked me to be one of the mentors. And so I have a group of about eight guys who I meet with every other Tuesday in the morning before school. So, you know, they have to make quite a commitment as well. Anybody who works with high school age, teenage young men and women know that getting up in the morning is not their favorite thing to do, but these guys are willing to do it and come in about half an hour early, and we just talk about different aspects of the faith. We actually read a great book by Father Larry Richards. It's called Be a Man. I admittedly had never read the book myself. I was asked to read this book in preparation for my role in this, and it had a great impact on me. I would recommend that book to anybody, young, old, in between. But that's the goal, is just to do this a little bit more on a personal level for these guys.
And folks, I have a feeling that there's more. So, Joe, I mentioned back in the intro that your dad is in multiple halls of fame as a football coach. You actually got to play under him, and now here you are coaching and getting a similar opportunity to, as you're describing, impact young student athletes the way that I'm sure he did with you. Can you share with us about the ability to impact the faith life of student athletes? And I'm talking about separate from this Shamrock ID student group, since it's brand new, in these years that you've been coaching at Detroit Catholic Central High School, and maybe even some examples of how our Catholic faith up until this new program has been incorporated into the football program by you and the others that are in charge of it.
Well, I don't think there's any mistake about it of how much of an emphasis sports has in our culture and our society nowadays.
Indeed.
I would say this podcast is a pretty good example of that. That being said, I think it's a great opportunity as a coach. You have the eyes and the ears of these guys. You have an opportunity to build relationships with them, learn about them as people. And once you do, sometimes it'll surprise you how open they will be with you. And so those are opportunities to talk about your faith and to talk about, you know, or answer questions that they may have. They're definitely thinking about it. Those things usually will happen, you know, off of the field. Like, we're on the practice field for maybe 2 hours after school. But, you know, I try to keep my door open. And the things that they will open up to you with will amaze you, as long as you're doing right by them and you're teaching them right things through the game of football, teamwork, fair play, integrity, all the things that the game is supposed to teach. I've always believed for a long time here, I've been coaching, I'm going to be on my 16th year in the fall. I've always believed that football is a great game, but only when it teaches great lessons. I do believe that football, and I know I'm biased, but I'm fine with that. I believe it's the best game out there to teach young men the qualities that they need to go out and really do God's work. It takes a lot of courage out there to face the world. It takes a lot of courage to play the game of football. Football is not, I don't believe it's a contact sport. I believe it's a very violent sport. It's not for everybody. You know, these are the guys who are going to go out and be warriors for Christ. And I would say, you know, and I'm going to maybe pat my own back a little bit, although I'm not the only person responsible for this, but probably one of my proudest achievements actually just came from the senior class that just graduated here in the spring. I had a young man, his name is Braden Corser. He played linebacker for us and had an opportunity to play collegiately at Saginaw Valley State. And I saw him actually just this past Friday. We were visiting the school, myself and a handful of our players, and he said, "Coach, I joined the Catholic Church." And to me, like, that is more of a crowning achievement as a coach than winning a state championship. And I did it twice as a player. I've coached in two of them, and they're phenomenal experiences. But, I mean, to me, truly, that's the mission of what we're doing. You know, we're Catholic educators, we're coaches, but really, first and foremost, we're here to spread the kingdom of God.
Wow. Wow. Outstanding. Outstanding. And folks, you know, something that Joe just said makes me think way back, way back, way back to the early stages of this show. Neil Pionk, who currently plays in the National Hockey League, he was the guest on episode 12 of this show, and he basically said during that interview to me, if we're lucky, we maybe have our NHL career 10 years, perhaps we play into our 30s, but we have our faith our entire life. And so you hear what Joe is saying, that, yeah, it's great going to state championships as a player, as a coach, as both, but when you hear that someone has done what he just described in their personal life, in their faith life, there's no trophy for that. And Joe, I'm wondering what other initiatives there are, such as a pregame prayer, a postgame prayer, maybe a team Bible study, other things that you're doing with the student athletes because, as I said, this program that you talked about, the Shamrock ID student group, is new. And folks, you're kind of hearing also, you know, these students, they look up to someone like Joe, and it's a great opportunity if you yourself are a coach listening to this interview, because if you're a football coach and you're going to tell the quarterback is going to say to the receiver, just get open, trust me, I'll get the ball to you, or you're going to tell the holder is going to say to the kicker, just kick the ball through the uprights, trust me, I'll have it down in time. Or the running back, just I'll get out in front and block. You just got to trust me that the hole is going to be there. There's so much trust, and they're looking up at coaches like Joe, and if Joe is imparting on them wisdom about their faith, they're going to trust him. So Joe, please, the show is about you. It's not about me. It's about the guests. It's about the Lord. But what other Catholic initiatives are you doing as a football program so that it's not simply X's and O's? I mentioned Bible studies and pregame prayers, but I'm sure that's kind of old hat at your school.
Well, maybe, maybe not, but I still think it's incredibly important. You have to start with a very solid foundation and do those things. And we pray at the end of each practice. We want to bring it back together and, you know, remind these guys, right? Why are we here? What are we doing? Who gave us the gifts and the abilities to play this great game? Mm. After every game, our team will go and join the students who are in the student section. And we sing the alma mater, which is Mary alma mater, which is a prayer. It is the school alma mater, but it's also a prayer. And we do that whether we win or we lose. We want to give glory through our Blessed Mother, who is watching over us and giving us the ability to do what we do. We try, not really just as a football program, but as a school, to make it very apparent what comes first. You walk into our school building, and you're going to see right at the front entrance, straight ahead in front of you, there's the chapel. Mm. And right above it, Jesus Christ is the reason for Catholic Central. And we remind our guys of this all the time. Mm. That's near and dear to my heart, and I can tell you why in a moment. I don't want to get off the path here, but you know, we do those things. We have fellowship of Christian athletes also in our school, so that we can get some of that Bible study and some of that testimony out to our guys. I mean, not every kid does everything,
sure,
but we try to provide as many opportunities as we can. I'll give you one more. You walk into our weight room, which we believe is one of the finest facilities for a high school in the state of Michigan, but plastered right up on the wall, we got a graphics company to come in and put right up on the wall, you know, your God's gift to you is who you are, and your gift to God is what you make of yourself. And we want our guys to see that every single time. You know, when we're pumping iron and trying to make ourselves into the best versions of ourselves, you know, it's not just about the game of football.
Fantastic, fantastic. But please continue. You said you didn't want to get off track, and I feel like you finished your thought about what y'all are doing, but please continue, though.
Well, I think about, you know, that chapel in there. You know, I love the fact that it's at the center of the school. We have Mass every morning before school. For all of our students, voluntary, but you know, you definitely see some students there. I'll see some of my players there. My dad was and still is. He's retired from teaching and coaching, but he still is a daily Mass attender. And I would have never pegged myself for one when I was younger, but now I am too. He's passed that on to me. I thank him for that whenever I see him there. But we'll see some of our young men there, and in that chapel, there's a stained glass image of Jesus there in the back, which was in the old campus, which was back down in Detroit. Our campus is now in a suburb of Detroit, Novi. But they brought that stained glass with us. My parents, my mother and my dad, were married in front of that. Mm. And then I was had the opportunity to be married in the current chapel in front of that stained glass. And my oldest son was baptized in front of it. So, This is all very near and dear to my heart, and so it really truly it means a lot to me. I mean, I'm not you said it before. It's not because of me, and it's not because of you. I'm not here to do this because I want everybody to think, you know, oh well, he's great. It's not for my glory, but this is very, very near and dear to my heart to carry out what I believe is the mission that God has put me there at the school to do. And I'll do it until he tells me he's got something else in mind for me.
Mm. Amen, amen. And there's a reason why Joe is on this episode, folks. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit guides into the guest seat each week, whoever needs to be there at a given time. And Joe, I'll be honest, I just found him on Twitter and kind of put two and two together, and the time just came for whatever reason the Holy Spirit had in store. And I can tell that he was destined to be another quality guest contributing just tremendous testimony that you're hearing. In fact, Joe is a member of the Knights of Columbus. You heard him say that he attends Mass daily. Joe, in your Twitter bio, there's a reference to Matthew 22, 36 to 40. As I said earlier, clearly, and we're talking about it right now, you're making sure that you're active in your Catholic faith and not just saying that you're Catholic or just saying that I work at a Catholic school. And a lot of people do that, but the presence of the faith ends there. So you are living out your Catholic faith in sports and away from the field as well.
Oh, I appreciate that. I want our young men to see that, you know, you can do this and you don't have to be afraid to do it, you know. Live it and live it proudly.
Yeah, and I love your description of the entrance to the school and the first thing you see being the chapel and the crucifix, because if you're listening to this show and you're a parent and you are discerning what school you're going to take your son or your daughter to, and you walk in and the first thing you see is the trophy case, well, maybe their priority is too much on sports. And as Joe mentioned before, that's a large part of why this show exists, is you hear me say it all the time, a large part of my ministry, that sports are great and there's a lot of terrific benefit to sport, teamwork, physical fitness, good sportsmanship. But we worship God and God alone. We don't worship sport. And it's wonderful to hear guests like Joe talking about how they are able to display and live out the two of them coexisting, and not I go to church on Sunday and then I forget about it till the next week. Joe, let's close by having you share all about the time that you have spent in the sacrament of holy matrimony. You briefly mentioned getting married in front of that stained glass window, but share with us about that as well as the family that you and your wife have made and perhaps even the parish that your family belongs to.
Gosh, great timing, I'll tell you that. Tomorrow is actually my 10th wedding anniversary, so I'll have been married 10 years now to my beautiful bride, Elizabeth. I'm truly blessed to have her in my life. She actually is a graduate of Mercy High School in Farmington Hills, which is only about 15 minutes from Catholic Central. That being said, you know, we never met each other until we were much later in life out of high school in our mid-20s. She was actually one of the bridesmaids for my brother's now wife. So I met her at my engagement party. I remember I was there, and Sarah is my sister-in-law, brings Liz over and says, "Hey, you know, I'd like you to meet this young woman, and she's going to walk with you in our wedding." And you know, what an amazing gift from God, you know, here and standing in front of me is this beautiful woman. And you know, got to know each other, went on a few dates, found out, hey, that she was Catholic and she shared the same faith as I was and many of the same interests. And the rest is history. We were married about a year and a half later. And now we have two beautiful children. Joshua is my oldest. He's 5. Anthony's my youngest. He's 2. You know, I'm obviously very blessed to have this family. We're members of St. Colette Parish in Livonia, and you mentioned a member of the Knights of Columbus, admittedly a very recent one, so I'm kind of getting started in that, but my father-in-law joined, and I would say that the other members probably put on what you might call the full court press, to make the basketball analogy, and, you know, to try to recruit me to the group. But what a great bunch of guys, and I was really impressed by the service that the Knights of Columbus do, because I admittedly didn't know very much about it before. So I'm thrilled and excited to be a part of that now.
And again, folks, I got to tell you, if you don't believe that the Holy Spirit moves in this ministry, I had no idea that Joe was just about to celebrate his anniversary. 2 weeks ago, you heard me ask Mike Evoy the same question about how long he's been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, and we talked about the fact that the episode was being released the day after his wedding anniversary, which was also my wedding anniversary, and now here we are with Joe Mack 2 weeks later and finding out that he's celebrating his anniversary too. None of these things would be possible without the intercession of the Holy Spirit, and if you watch one or two of the videos that I have on YouTube about the way that the Lord has just filled up my guest list for me. You kind of really understand the presence of the Holy Spirit in Catholic Sports Radio, and I'm so grateful to that. Joe, I'm so grateful to you. It was really wonderful to have you on the show, and God bless you and your family. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And folks, clearly with someone on the line who has been coaching as long as Joe has, it's fitting that we close this week's episode with a prayer for coaches. So let's do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Lord, it is so easy for me to lose perspective, to get focused on the little picture of my job rather than on the big picture of the work to which you've called me. Help me to persevere. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.